There are some verses of Scripture with words so beautiful that they capture our attention, and with truth so profound that they enlighten the mind and they grip the heart. One such scripture is found in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. Here we have a scripture that shows a parallel between the light of creation and the light of revelation. The subject of light and darkness is throughout the Bible, and it's both physical and by figure of speech, spiritual. There's the light of day and the darkness of night, in which we are to work in the day and to rest and sleep in the night. But you know, we moderns have forgotten that, haven't we? And there is figuratively the darkness of sin and the light of godliness. There is the darkness of evil, the light of good, the darkness of error, and the light of truth. But here is a beautiful expression of how it all began. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Darkness is just the absence of light, you know. But out of light, God commanded, out of darkness, God commanded light to shine. And this harks back to the very first verses of the Bible. But here we see that the order that we usually speak is reversed. It isn't light and darkness, it's darkness and light. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. And that statement is the prologue to the whole Bible. All of the Bible is based upon that statement, and all of God's revelation is based upon that statement. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God's first creative act was light. And out of darkness came light. Out of nothing came something. All of the philosophies and religions of man assume that matter is eternal. If matter were eternal, then matter would be divine. It would be God. But out of nothing came something, and it was light. And if astrophysicists want to call this the Big Bang, light shone out of darkness. And astrophysicists also tell us that light is the basic building block of all matter. And without it, there is no life. For it was light first. If you doubt that, take a throw rug and throw it out onto your grassy lawn and leave it for about a week. And you know what you'll find when you pick it up. The grass will be turning yellow and dying. But then take the rug away, and in a day or two, the grass has revived again. Light is the first essential to life. And it is the great illuminator of all of God's creation. It is the great majesty of nature. I'm sure that you've all seen these photographs taken by astronomers and from our space probes and so forth, showing all of the beauty of God's creation. And they're ever trying to build larger telescopes to be able to gather more light, to see deeper into space. This is the light of creation, and it is the glory of creation. And no wonder mankind has always been fascinated with the heavens. No wonder that mankind has always been fascinated with the vast reaches of the heavens, and they have had no idea how vast it is, and we still don't. But the majesty of nature is expressed in its vastness and in its variety and in its beauty. It's no wonder the psalmist said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thine hands, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him." So all of the beauty of nature is around us. How often do we stop to think what a beautiful planet this is that we live on? And yet there's glory throughout the universe. Our space probes have sent back pictures from the dark side of planets. They sent us back pictures of the moons of Jupiter and of the rings of Saturn and of the frozen wastes of Neptune, places we'll never go anyway. Man may sometime go there. He seems to be that curious. But in all of those places, it is nothing but beauty. In places that would support no life whatsoever, it's beauty. In places where that were never seen before our time, there's nothing but beauty there. That is revealed by the light of creation. And my son has a book on meteorology that explains all about the weather systems and about all of the various cloud forms and how to prognosticate the weather. And he waxes rather poetic sometimes. He said, "For anyone with eyes to see and will but lift them to the skies, every day is a pageant of beauty. From the glory of the sunrise to the beauty of the sunset, to the various shades of blue of the sky, to every cloud form and all of the beauty of the rainbow and in the clouds." And he says all of that is formed by sunlight, water, and air. And that's all the great painter of the universe needs. But think about this corner of a hostile universe that God has made so comfortable of a home for us. The miracle of God's creation. And Paul tells us that all of this is really a revelation of God Himself. He tells us in the 19th verse of the first chapter of Romans, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that mankind is without excuse. Have you ever thought of the physical universe as a revelation of God? It tells us of His power. It tells us of how complex all of this universe is, tells us about something about the mind of God. The beauty of the creation tells us He is a God of beauty. Everything He does is beautiful and good, as is repeated over and again in the first chapter of Genesis. It tells us that God is a God of order. All things work according to the way they should work in concert. And even in chaos, physicists claim there is order, for He is a God of order. And also, the other attributes of God are clearly shown to us in creation. And many of the ancient philosophers came to very much of the same conclusion apart from the revelation, special revelation of God. But that was not enough. It's a parable to us of what God is and what He is like, and that of His justice and His righteousness, but natural revelation alone is not enough. So He spoke to the prophets over the ages. He spoke to them at various times and in various ways, as we read in the first verse of Hebrews. And gradually, over time, the light of revelation became brighter and brighter and brighter, until the last prophet of the Old Testament, prophesying of one who would come, said, "Unto you who fear His name, He shall arise the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings." As the dawn of morning would come the light of God's revelation. And in the 8th chapter of John and in the 12th verse, Jesus spake and said unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world, the counterpart of the light of creation. And John tells us about His coming in the first chapter of John, reading from verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Amen. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He was that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Or as the English Standard Version more clearly puts it, the true light that enlightens all mankind was coming into the world. And he came as silently as the sunrise. He came silently and without fanfare at his birth in the obscure town of Bethlehem. And he grew to manhood in that backwater place of Nazareth, in a country that was despised by the rest of the world. He came quietly, and even when he began his ministry, he went about it, as Peter said in the book of Acts, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And John said that he was the true light that lights all mankind. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. So he was the universal light of the world. He is the only light of the world. People who say that all religions lead to God have never seriously considered the matter. They have never read the Bible. They would see that in this book is a revelation of God that is nowhere else in the world. He is the only light of the world. And the effect of his coming is that he enlightens all mankind. When the sun arises, the shadows retreat. The darkness retreats to the other side of the earth. And as the light of Christ came into this world, he brought the blessing of the light of God's revelation to this world. And everything in the world today that is good and uplifting and moral and right is due to his coming. Everything that softens the roughness of our society is due to him. It was because of him and through the church that hospitals were first established, the schools were first established. When our forebears came to this country, the first thing they built was a church and a school because of the light of the Son of Righteousness that came into this world. And everything that is morally uplifting in society is due to the gospel. And if you don't believe it, go where the gospel is not prominent. My wife said that Sharon Crooks said the other day that in South America you can feel the spiritual darkness around you. It is only in the light of the world, in the light of Christ, that there is anything good in a lost and fallen world. He is the light of the world. And he enlightens all of creation. And he is also the light of life. John said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. But let us return to our first text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God commanded light to shine out of darkness, but he shone the glory of God into your heart if you have believed on him. Do you remember that time when first you realized who Jesus Christ is and that he filled your life with light and banished the darkness of sin? And do you remember how you felt at that time? I challenge you to think of that time in your life often, to return to that in your thinking and in your meditation. Think of the darkness before and of the light that shone after. And he shone in our hearts the light of the glory of God. And it is, if the whole of the Epistle of John is about the result of that in a Christian's life. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him in light. And that light shone in our hearts by the Holy Spirit revealed the light of the glory of God. Now we can see the glory of God in creation in ways that the natural man cannot. Now we can divine the ways of God in his dealings with men, because he tells us about it in his word here. Now we have the light of God himself to guide us in our life and in the word of God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. Turning back to the 34th chapter of Exodus, we read a very remarkable event. And Moses had gone up onto the mountain to receive the law from the Lord. And we read, beginning with verse 29, "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the mountain, from Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, or knew not, that the skin of his face shone while God talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them commandment, all that the Lord had spoken unto him at Sinai. For till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. For when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and spake unto the children of Israel, which he was commanded, the children of Israel saw that the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil again over his face again until he went in to speak with him, with God. Moses, being in the presence of God, his face shone with the glory of God. And then we read his counterpart in the 9th chapter of Luke, where Jesus took his disciples upon the mountain and he was praying. And in Luke 9 and 29, we read, beginning with verse 28, "And it came to pass about an 8 days after these things that he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." And then he goes on to tell how he was speaking with Moses and Elias. But Jesus' eternal glory shone through his face, and his countenance was changed, and his very clothing glowed with glory, with the glory of his eternal nature. So we see here, Paul said that he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have Jesus Christ with us the way the apostles did, to see his literal face. So Paul has to, have we seen him like the apostles saw him on the road to Emmaus in all of his glory? So the apostle here means that in a spiritual way we can view the face of Christ and view the glory that it reveals to us. But this is an idiom of that day, in the face of Jesus Christ. To say the face of someone meant to speak of his person. And to see the face of someone meant you were in his presence. And this is what he means here. We see it in the face of Jesus Christ when we are in his presence. We live in his presence if we belong to him. We live in his presence always. But when we particularly come into his presence, as we have this morning to gather in his name, or when we are in his presence in prayer, when we make a habit of walking with him in his presence, and when we have fellowship with him, as John said, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we are spiritually beholding the face of the Lord, beholding the glory of the Lord. And then, like Moses, but in a spiritual way, we will radiate to others the glory of the Lord, because we will be like the disciples were when it was said they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been in his presence. And God has privileged us with knowing the light of revelation in Jesus Christ. He's privileged us with being able to know the light of revelation in this book. And as this revelation shines into our heart from this book and from being in the presence of God, he shines the glory of Jesus, of God through Jesus, into our hearts. And truly, the glory of God will shine out to others. Have you ever had someone ask you, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" You have, I'm sure, many of you. How did they know that? It was because there was something about you that attracted them. It was the glory of God in Jesus Christ shining out from your face, just as the glory of God shone from the face of Moses, who had been in the presence of God. So as we behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ, in his presence, it will shine forth through us unto others. For we read in the second chapter of Philippians, in verse 15, we read, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." We have no light in ourselves, but we have the light reflected from Jesus in our life. We can shine forth as lights in this world. And more, this is becoming more needed in this world and in our community, because this world and our own country is becoming increasingly dark as it turns away from the gospel of Christ. And if you knew even all of the darkness and evil in this city, this metropolitan area of Denver right here, you would realize how much the gospel is needed, not only just to be preached from the television and the radio and from in such measure, but through the life of individual persons to enlighten the increasingly darkness of the society in which we live. What a beautiful scripture that is. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts the glory of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How privileged we are to have the light of the gospel. How privileged we are to have fellowship with Jesus Christ and to be able to be in his presence. How privileged we are to know him and to know what is coming as this world becomes increasingly darker. But in another day, not far from now, the Son of Righteousness will rise on the whole earth, and the whole world will know the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But before that time, the darkness is coming. And it is our privilege, it is our duty, and it is our joy to be lights in this dark world. For we have not only the light of creation, we have not only the light of knowing the life of Jesus, we have the light of the gospel in our hands and in our hearts and in our minds. Let us sing a song in closing, number 193 in our hymnal.